إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. قال تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek help from Him. And we ask Him for forgiveness. And we put all our trust in Him. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our actions, from shaitan, and from our bad deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, none can guide. Allah tells us in His glorious Quran, O you who believe, fear Allah as though He should be feared. Fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. Additionally, He tells us, O people, fear Allah, who created you from a single entity. And from that He created spouses. And from those spouses He created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights as men and women. Verily Allah is ever watchful of everything you do. Anything good that you gain today is from Allah. Verily, there's no human that can take any credit. And anything bad is from me and my shaitan. So I ask you in advance for forgiveness. If I said something that offends you, or something that you find objectionable, I will do my best to not upset anyone. Today I'll try to explain something that has been bothering me over the past couple of months. And it's something that, you know, the theme is, I've talked about it before, but I'm not regurgitating, if that's what you were wondering. I will talk about this issue, and then I will try to give a framework in which we can have some solutions. Inshallah, it will be beneficial. Before I start, I'd like to preface my remarks with the following. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in His glorious Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Allah tells us in Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5, the table spread, that today He has perfected your religion and He has conferred upon us His favor, the ni'mah, and He has given us Islam as a way of life, as a comprehensive means of living, as something we can take to our hearts. Alhamdulillah, the first thing we should thank Allah is for us being Muslim, us being guided to the straight path, and we believe this wholeheartedly. Additionally, we should thank Allah for giving us this community center, this Islamic center, where we can gather, perform our prayers, and we're not prosecuted. Alhamdulillah. And we have organizations and people that are guiding us through these, as a people in this country. Whenever we make dua, one of the duas that we mention very often, it goes like this: رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, give us everything good in this life, and give us everything good in the next life, and save us from hellfire. I'd like you to ponder upon this for just 30 seconds. This dua is asking Allah to give us good in this life, and in the next life. So the focus is on both, which is something you don't really hear so much. We always focus on the hereafter, and we tend to forget the means to achieve the hereafter, which is this world. So, from this I gather that our purpose in life is to enrich ourselves, is to make a difference, is to make a purposeful, conscious life as a Muslim. And ask Allah to make us one of those. The question I'd like to ask is, what are we here to do? And an ayah that comes to our mind is, Allah tells us, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. Where Allah tells us that He tells the Prophet Muhammad to command His people that this is your ummah, this is your community. And this is one community. And I am your Lord. So fear me. So firstly, Allah establishes the community. The purpose of it is unity. And then how do we reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as a whole, we fear Allah as a whole. And I'd like you to ponder upon that for a second. First, Allah establishes the collective ummah. And this ummah is your local, your national, your global ummah, of community of believers. Anyone who says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This is the criterion for someone to become a Muslim. Now, when we talk about this community, let's talk about what we mean by this. And there's a lot of different definitions, and I'm not going to try to, you know, reinvent the wheel or something, or say something very that you've never heard before. And I'd like to focus on the home. The first thing we learn as children, we learn at home about community. And our parents will socialize us to think in a certain way about this community. And Allah tells us to protect our family. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. O you who believe, save your children. Save yourselves and your children from the hellfire. Which means to guide them, to let them lead themselves to the straight path. And whenever we have a problem, we want to isolate all the interactions, we want to take out the main issue in the problem itself. With that being said, I feel, in my experience, and I will talk about this experience, is that our way of raising children needs to be a little bit reevaluated or reworked. Because we need to develop individuals, Muslims, that are fully conscious of what they're doing in this world, why they are here, and they need to be upright people. Now, raising your kids within the four corners of a mosque, a facility, is all good, but it doesn't teach them skills. Because when we look at, when we go outside, we understand how religion interacts with culture. But when we're inside here, we do not. We only see ourselves as mirrors. And we won't appreciate the challenges our community faces. What I really want to say is the practice of telling children what is wrong and right, it needs to be interactive. You need to make them understand why something is a certain way. And you'll be surprised the kind of things I've been teaching at the Sunday school at the mosque for 2 years now. And you'll be surprised about the kind of things you learn about yourself and your development as a Muslim just by teaching children. And I have no legal, I say this without any, I don't have any legal training, any Islamic theological training. The children will know what is haram and what is halal. And they will throw these words very easily. But when they're asked to ponder upon a single verse in the Quran, write a paragraph, write an essay about what a verse tells you, what it means, even after giving a translation, they are struggling. Because we have taught them to regurgitate. We have not taught them how to think. And in order to be successful, you have to think about how to think. And this is not lofty language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, He challenges everyone. When He gives arguments about the creation, He says, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you think? Don't you think? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, in another verse, إِنَّ شَرَّ الدَّوَابِ عَنْدَ اللَّهِ السُّمُّ الْبُكْمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. That the worst creatures in the sight of Allah are the deaf and the dumb. And why? Because they do not think. They regurgitate. Now let's get back to our topic of the community. As elementary as it may sound, you know, we need to keep revisiting this topic because you'll be surprised at the kind of things I hear just as a college student. Not as a community member or a leader or anything, because I'm not one of those.
I find that when I teach students, they feel shy to answer questions when I ask them questions, because they don't want to be wrong. And this is normal. Even if you go to a college setting, students are like this. They don't want to answer questions. They don't want to be wrong because they feel shy, right? And this is obsession with being right all the time. And I tell them, there's nothing to be shy about. There's nothing to be shy about, because if you knew everything, you should not be at the school. You should be at home, you know, watching something on television. You should not be at school if you knew everything. The purpose is to come and learn. And with this, I would like to get into my real topic. If we think we are high, we are mighty, we are sinless, that we have no faults, that the faults lie in the person that we are looking at, I would say to you, don't come to the mosque. Because the mosque is not a place for someone who's perfect. That's simple. A mosque is a place for people that sin, and they want to seek their Lord. This is very elementary, but you'll be surprised the kind of conversation that I've been with. Where we cannot understand this simple concept. If we are in no need of introspection of ourselves, we have no need to come to the mosque. The mosque is made for those people that are seeking their Lord. Not those that are sitting around like vultures and telling other people, asking them, pointing out their faults. And this has been going on for quite a while, and it happens in every community. I'm not trying to single someone out. We're all to blame for this. And how long will we wait until we address it, until we change ourselves? Until the roles are filled with people that look exactly how we want them to look like? People have long beards, short thobes, wonderfully looking, perfect hijabs. Is that, and until then, will we keep doing this, or will we stop? That's a question I'd like to pose to you. And I say this because I'm tired of hearing stories upon stories of people that I meet outside the mosque, not within the mosque, because they're scared to say things about their experiences. One sister came and told me that she was yelled at because she was closing the window. I mean, the whole concept of the wall, that's a whole different issue, but she was yelled at for closing the window. How would that make someone feel? A person of the community or a person that is not welcome? And our job as Muslims, our job is not to tell who is in the community, who is not in the community. This is the job of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not, this is very dangerous water. Very dangerous waters. We cannot put someone out of Islam. Very, 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 very dangerous. You cannot accord yourself something that it belongs to Allah, a right. And we have to understand that, well, we meet people with different messages, different faiths, different creeds. And Islam is a universal message, and we know that no Arab is greater than a non-Arab. And Allah, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us this in his final sermon. In his final sermon, he said, all mankind is from Adam and Eve. An Arab has no superiority over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab has any superiority over an Arab. Also, a white has no superiority over black, nor does a black have any superiority over white, except by piety and good action. You know that every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. Remember, one day you will appear before Allah and ask for your deeds. So beware, do not stray from the path of righteousness after I am gone. This is your Habib, your beloved person you're supposed to love more than you love yourself. More than your family, your spouse, your children, your father, your mother. He is telling you this. He is warning you. He's saying, be wary of this. I'm not trying to scold anyone, but this is a place for introspection. We have to think about our role, what we have done. How we have contributed. Are we the solution or are we the problem? And the point I'm trying to make is that Islam came to transform people's lives. There's a beautiful story of Aisha radiallahu anha. When the Jews came to visit, a group of Jews, they came and they said, Assalamu alaik, which meant, it's a play on Assalamu alaik, but something they would say, Assam means death. So they said, death be upon you. So Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Blessed Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Blessed Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, she said, "Assalamu alaykum wa la'na. Death be upon you and cursed, and you may you be cursed." And the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was appalled. He said, "Ya Aisha," this is how he's talking, "Ya Aisha, O Aisha, inna Allah rafiq yuhibbu rifq fil amri kulli." Allah is kind and he loves kindness in everything. This is to a person who said, "Death be upon you." He said, "Allah loves kindness. We're supposed to be kind people." I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for you and me and all the believers from all sins. So seek His forgiveness. Verily, He is oft most oft forgiving. قُلُوا قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الذَّنْبِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ Brothers and sisters, you know, we can sit and talk about problems, but we have to come to solutions. And I will try to get to these solutions, which I think are essential. One of the things that is happening in this country is that the face and the traits of Muslims are changing. Muslims are changing. The face of of Islam in America is changing very rapidly. So when the first immigrants came, they were appalled to see that their values, their cultural values, their religious values did not mesh with contemporary American culture. So they did one broad thing. They isolated themselves. This was the policy response from immigrants. Isolation and prohibition. Isolate yourselves to save yourselves and prohibit most things. So the definition, let me go back a little bit. And your children started going to public schools, they started going to universities, they started working, and they saw they could not be isolated. But the definition was that in order to be a good Muslim, you had to be isolated. So these people were living two different lives, like a parallel universe. One over here, one over there, we come to the mosque to be religious, we go outside to be normal people. And the definition that was used was that less Western culture is equal to more Islam. So in essence, what we reduced the religion to was defining ourselves by not us, not our heritage, not our tawhid, but by the other. We looked at the other, we said we're opposite them, let's just do everything opposite of what they do. When in fact we should have introspected, and this is the time for this. Introspection, think deeply about, revisit your texts, revisit everything that you do, and reinterpret it. We should be defining ourselves by ourselves, not by what someone else says, because that is when you really empower yourself. For instance, our response was, how do you make something Islamic? You put the word Islamic in front of it. So if you have school, you put Islamic in front of it, it becomes Islamic school. Easy, right? And consider if I sprinkled a couple of Arabic words in this khutbah, you would be really convinced, right? I mean, let's be honest. If I spoke in Arabic, I would really convince all of you. Would say, yes, he knows what he's talking about. And ask the generation that is my age, that's 20 years old, when they went to Sunday school, and they were taught Arabic, they know nothing about that. They forgot all of it. Because we didn't really rethink about what we're supposed to do, our role. Some lucky of them might just remember some rehearsed verses of some songs. My point is, be selective in the culture you take in. Don't take everything, but take the best and leave the rest. Yes, you know, we have TV shows that are just intellectually bankrupt. They teach us nothing, they there's no value to them. But we have TV, right? That's a mode of communication. We can use that to our good extent, to the best of our abilities. I know people that are extremely religious. They come here to be religious, but, you know, and they prohibit talking to women and whatnot. And then you go home and you watch TV shows all night. I mean, what is this? Two lives we're living. This needs to be re-examined. It happens every day. And Allah tells us to be upright people. Allah tells us, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أَمَرْتَ وَمَنْ تَعْبَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَقْهَوْ. He says, stand upright as you have been commanded and those that return to him and do not commit mischief. One of the scholars said, this is the most profound ayah in the whole Quran. Fastaqim. Be upright people. Be selective in what you take in. And, you know, we were living in a world where everything, we have so much information. You go on the internet, without something, you get information so quickly that the religion has been reduced to spiritual highs. If you want to feel good, if you want to get a spiritual high, this is a word that's being used. You go to YouTube, you type in some, you know, your favorite imam's thing, and you just watch it, 2 minutes, I'm done. This is not the way you develop a deeper understanding of your religion. It's a constant effort. And this is the result of the times. It's a postmodern world. We want everything quick, right? Everything has to be quick and easy. People used to spend time, they used to spend years and years in study of scholars. Now we have people on the internet, they read a couple of hadith and they're making legal opinions. Be wary of this. Do not fall for spiritual highs. We want a sustained, deeper understanding of our religion. Sustained meaning it goes on. Spiritual highs are good, except that there's lows also. You know? And Islam is not a state of being. I've said this before, it's a state of experience. So one day you might do something, you might feel really bad about yourself. You might feel very guilty. The next day you might feel good about yourself. And that is part of being a Muslim. It is not a state of being. I do not embody Islam or Muslim. I'm experiencing it. And some days I might do something I regret. And when someone desecrates the Prophet, peace be upon him, what do? Do we react in emotion? I want to, you know, I always ask myself, if I am in the streets of Cairo or whatever city, and everyone's going to march, wouldn't I be riled up? I would. Because my emotions are just really affecting me. But we are required to have a deeper understanding of our faith, of our tradition, of our heritage. And that would disallow us from doing all those bad things people have done before. So we're getting into very dangerous waters. You have to be very wary of what you take in. And I've heard people ask me, I'll tell you, this is true. People ask me legal opinions about Islam and I say, why? I have no legal training. He said, because you have a beard. Said, you know, I can point you in the direction of the Orthodox Jews. They have very long beards. You can go ask them about legal opinions. If your definition of someone who gives you sound legal opinion is the beard, you can go ask them, don't ask me. We've become such superficial people. It requires introspection. So let's talk about solutions here. I have 5 minutes, inshallah. I'm sure you got tired of me ranting on and on about problems in the Muslim community. We always come back to this. It's to reorient ourselves towards Allah and His Messenger, peace be upon Him. And the way we do this is reading not just history, but seerah that has been written in a contemporary language, in a contemporary light. Something that has been written by a person who knows your times. Someone that has been written by a person who's living like you. Who's aware of the political, social, economic conditions. When you read a seerah like this, you will get to know the legacy of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the best of all mankind. But yet we only hear about his battles, how great he was a leader. How does this affect us in our daily lives? We want to know who, in addition to that, that is very important, we want to know who Muhammad is, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a father, as a husband, as a community leader, as a person dealing with people that really hated him and wanted to take his life at every moment of his life. We want to know that Muhammad, and we want to embody his qualities. And the only one I can think of, one of the brothers, he had a khutbah a couple of years back, maybe a year back, and he described this. He said, very profound book, it's by Professor Dr. Tariq Ramadan, it's called In the Footsteps of the Prophet. It's been written in a very contemporary light. You will be able to understand it. I'm talking to the younger generation, because maybe the older generation is still in a hold up and they want to read Arabic books. But your kids won't understand that. They don't have that culture in their head. The second thing I would like to say is to read, just like you read the seerah, read the Qur'an. And whenever you pick up the Qur'an, if it's your mother tongue is not Arabic, you'll read the English, or you read another language, you'll see that the language is very, very dense. And this is what it's almost as if the authors of the translation were trying to feign profundity by using high language. Where in fact, we know as to a discerning reader, the Qur'an is profound in its message. And its message is profound. The words don't have to go up and down loftily. In its message, So when you read, read in the contemporary light. And read one that you understand. And my last advice, piece of advice, is not to make Islam savvy, you know. It's what it is. You don't have to butter it up anymore. And this is the product of our times, because we're living in a world where everything is done in 2-minute clips, you know. We want everything quick and easy, so we want religion to be like that too. But it's not like that. It's an experience. It's not a high. So re-examine yourself. And if I had the topic of the khutbah is critical thinking. Critically re-examine what you're doing, why you're doing it, and take these solutions to heart. Whenever you read something in a contemporary light, so you can understand. You don't want to be living in a different world, because you're living here. 21st century America. And you want to be understanding where you live. I apologize for being abstract. For some of you, it might have gone over the head. But sometimes it's necessary to, when you're getting a difficult point across, it's necessary to be abstract. And some of you might be wondering, why didn't he just give us a hadith and a Quran and ayah and just talk about it and be done with it? But sometimes we need to think critically. قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك وحبيبك محمد وعلى وارض اللهم على الخلفاء الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وأن معهم بمنك وكرمك وجودك وإحسانك يا أرحم الراحمين. Allah commands us to send His peace and blessings upon Muhammad and his family. All you who believe, send your peace and blessings upon him. O Allah, I ask you to give us understanding. O Allah, grant us knowledge which is beneficial, and let us benefit from it. O Allah, make us a community of compassion, one that is coherent, deep, and not superficial. O Allah, shower your blessings upon this ummah, upon Columbia, Missouri, upon the entire world. O Allah, shower us with your mercy and compassion. O Allah, put within our hearts the love of your beloved Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, we have wronged ourselves, and without your help there is no refuge. O Allah, we have wronged ourselves, and without your help there is no refuge. O Allah, we have wronged ourselves, and without your help there is no refuge. O Allah, forgive us all of our sins and numerous shortcomings. O Allah, you are the source of all majesty and grace. O Allah, you are the source of all beauty and compassion. O Allah, we ask you, with your most beautiful names and fantastic attributes, to aid your believers wherever they may be suffering. O Allah, lift the burden from them and grant them success. Inna Allah ya'muru bil 'adli wal ihsani wa ita'i dhil qurba wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun fadhkuru Allah yadhkurkum wa ad'uhu yastajib lakum wa dhikru Allah akbar wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Aqim as-salat.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أي الأسرى أي الأسرى أي الفلا أي الفلا قد قام الرسالة قد قام الرسالة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Straighten the rows. Please be shoulder to shoulder. If you be foot to foot, then you can be shoulder to shoulder. So choose one of the two. It's just a sunnah. Pray as if this is the last prayer. Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر